Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show, what FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You text me, that's how you get in touch with the program. Silicon Dell Jackson, WVNN, about an hour from now. And the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poore Show at the 11 o'clock hour. Former Congressman Parker Griffin. But joining us now here in the Fairhope Bureau, as it looks like we are about to face some kind of a storm, so hang on tight. State Representative Jennifer Fidler. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Have you caught your breath yet?
I have been catching my breath. It's been a great weekend.
Yeah, well, I imagine so. Now you don't have to go back to Montgomery. You don't have to go tomorrow or tonight or whenever it is that you go. But this is your second session. Just give us like kind of the 10,000-foot view here. Like, how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, like you said, it's my second session, and I didn't, you know, I don't know. I guess people keep asking me in the middle of it and through it, and because you hear from our veterans and seasoned legislators, like, this has been a session, you know, that we will, this is like the worst session, or this is the most detailed session, or this is the set, we don't have sessions like this. And being my second term, I'm in second year, I didn't really know how to respond to that, but it was somebody, one of the podcasts I've heard is that it was definitely draining. And I think that's probably a pretty good description of it. Those two breaks that we had, the spring breaks, I just remember trying to use the other side of my brain, doing projects that, you know, to kind of get me out of the, the heaviness of it all. And because it is a lot. We went through a lot of big bills, a lot of things that some great wins for the Republican parties, most of them all compromises in my mind. I think a successful session.
Well, it felt like two sessions with those two breaks, because, you know, you came back, I know, for that week in the middle, but, you know, everything that happened in the first half of the session, it seems like, so far in the rearview mirror, like it feels like a totally different year, you know, but it was kind of like that. You could have called it a day halfway through, and that would have been maybe a little light, but it still wouldn't have been out of the norm for an entire legislative session. Second half, well, I mean, the budgets are always weird and filled with all kinds of speed bumps and hurdles, but the gambling sucked up oxygen in all of it, in both first and second half.
Yeah, it did. All the way around, it did. It sucked up a lot of oxygen, and has for years, hasn't it? Hats off to leadership to trying to tackle the elephant in the room, trying to get through it, and unfortunately, you know, there wasn't enough consensus on, you know, both sides, but
this is me talking. We dodged a bullet there. But I just, one vote in the Senate and we'd be talking about a special election in August right now. Yeah. You think about that. Yeah. It was that close, but, I guess 99 was closer because I actually got it on the ballot. But it feels like that dam's going to break. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a while before you guys revisit that again, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, really don't know. We did do so much work on it. There was so much talk about it. It just seems like, you know, that would be something that we could tackle. And
Do you feel like you're well versed on this subject now? Going into this probably tangentially, you know, but now you look at it, like, you've seen it all the angles. You kind of feel like you're very, very well versed in this.
I read a lot. I studied a lot. And I read the governor's study. I read and that was the basis of my no vote, actually. I voted on this years ago as a, you know, young Alabamian. And the basis came back down to probably exactly why I voted no on it before. I think the people probably do want lottery only. They're not. They don't want gambling. They definitely don't want casinos in Baldwin County. And that was a win during the process that not, you know, have making sure that there were no casinos in Baldwin County on that constitutional amendment every time we voted. I mean, it came out of the Senate that way.
Now do you feel like you understand why you can't just do a clean lottery, though? You know what I mean? Like, why can't we do a clean lottery? And it's a lot harder to, it's hard. I mean, you do the lottery, then what happens after that? And there's a lot of people playing kind of defense to keep a clean lottery from ever happening.
Yeah, I get that too. So, yeah, well, you see all sides, we do have to give up something, and which was, you know, when it came back out of the Senate, there was some give and take on that. Going back into the compact with Porch Creek Indians and seeing, you know, those, the things that we would need to give up. But, you know, I am much more versed in it. I'm much more, I understand a lot more. I've read a lot that the bill, you know, when it came, we considered it again, you know, the last day of session.
Right.
We didn't have a chance to even really read what came back out.
Let me ask you this, though. If it comes back up again, there's not the steep learning curve. Like, you won't have to go through all this, you know, reading these old reports and going to these meetings. You kind of understand the, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a lot easier, or should be a little easier next time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you got a foundation. A deeper level of understanding, and you know, we all should across the board. Whereas a year ago, you know, I couldn't say that. We had a education 101 for all the freshmen that the leadership put on, but which was good. Gave me didn't know we had all the constitutional amendments throughout the state of Alabama that were allowing a lot of this gambling. So yeah, it's all been a learning curve.
Joined by State Representative Jennifer Fiddler here on the program. The other thing, let's hit the budgets. Obviously, when you're working through state money, you want to make sure you have some things that are taken care of here locally. Let's get into that. What do people in this part of the state have to be looking forward to?
Well, we had a big win for Fairhope. And my hat's off to the work that our Ways and Means General Fund put into this. And actually, you know, as we coming off talking about gambling and talking about the revenues that would have generated, we have record budgets. We have record budgets in Educational Trust Fund, which, again, I've said this before, but the revenues from Educational Trust Fund come from your sales, our sales tax, your income tax across the board. Those are the revenues, and they're at record highs. This year, the Education Trust Fund grew by about 6%. We had because of the way we do this, we do not expend more than by constitution, it's 6%, and it goes down to 5.something%. We are limiting ourselves, you know, with what we expend out so we don't grow government too fast. And with those supplemental revenues that came into that budget, we're able to allocate a supplemental budget.
Right.
So we were able to do that on the Ways and Means General Fund, and we were also able to do that on Education Trust Fund. So we had two budgets for each budget, if that makes sense. So in that supplemental budget, we were in the Ways and Means General Fund. We were able to get a lot of the requests, not everything, but that we put in locally and really the statewide. This is probably why you had very little debate on the budget, because the requests that came in pretty much were granted, or there were something granted. So hats off to those, Chairman Garrett, Chairman Reynolds over here on our side, Senator Orr, and Senator Albritton. We are so blessed to have Senator Albritton there, you know, representing Baldwin County and our area, looking after, you know, the Ways and Means General Fund over here. But we've got, you know, that leadership throughout the state of Alabama. But those were, you know, people might have looked at it and said, oh, wow, there's not really a whole lot of debate. And that's because there were so many of those requests that came in that were actually able to be granted, even, you know, especially through the supplemental budget, you know, that we had.
Supplemental is kind of like where a lot of the action is, because so much of the budgets are earmarked, right? But the supplemental, like when you start dividing, divvying that up, that's where you see a lot of, you know, a lot of action.
Yeah, that's right. It is. I just wanted to give everybody, I do have the notes here. We had a $3.4 billion budget in the Ways and Means General Fund. The highlights in the budget include the Alabama Medicaid Agency received $95 million, which was an 11% increase. So the Alabama Department of Corrections was awarded $40.4 million, and that was a 6% increase. And that increase came up to $696.2 million. The Alabama Department of Mental Health received 11.3% increase, which totaled that to $24.1 million, and $238 million was the annual budget. There is the annual budget. The supplemental appropriation bill directed an additional $150 million to the ongoing prison construction projects. And we gave a 2% pay increase to all the state employees. The Education Trust Fund employees, which means all our teachers received a 2%, are going to receive a 2% pay increase. So across the board, all our employees, and that is effective on October 1st. The Education Trust Fund is three times the size of our Ways and Means General Fund.
And you just think about that, guys, like the education budget, it's very much, I mean, like you said, three times larger than what you get with what they do with the general fund. So, like, that's everything else besides education, roads and bridges, prisons, the public safety area, et cetera.
Yeah, it's $9.35 billion Education Trust Fund budget.
No. Well, we keep spending more and more on education. What do you think of that? Are we going to start seeing some results? I mean, every year, record education budget. And, you know, like for a lot of my listeners, at least, and me included, you never want to get excited about the expansion of government, but we're expanding it. Now, look, I understand there's inflation, so that price tag is a reflection of the inflation in the economy and the value of the dollar. But we are growing government, you know, every year. And you hear lawmakers do this, like, well, we got another record education budget or general fund budget. That's just so awesome. And you're kind of like, well, is it? You know, so, like, on the education side, what are you anticipating like that to look like? Are we going to start moving kind of up among our peers around the country as far as statewide goes, you think?
You talking about how well we were doing on our report cards?
Yeah, test scores, just results in general, not necessarily even just NAEP scores, but everything.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of changes in the last many years. We have passed the Literacy Act. We've passed the Numeracy Act. You know, those things cost. Every time we do something a little bit different, we add up principles. Which we did this year, and those are costs that, you know, all have to be budgeted, or, you know, things that we think that's going to improve our education system. You know, one of my concerns when we talked about the Choose Act, which was, of course, I was in favor of, but, you know, when you listen to our educators here, they were worried that we were going to take off money out of the Education Trust Fund. Of course, we, you know, Chairman Garrett and the Education Policy Committee, and the Education Trust Fund, the Budget Committee, they all looked at that. We knew that we were going to have, we had already taken $50 million off, you know, in the previous year, and this was another $50 million that we were putting toward that effort this year. And I think we know that $7,000 per child, I thought that was a little high, just frankly. I thought it probably should have been a little bit lower, because I worried about the money that's still going to be left per child in the education system. And when I brought those concerns to our chairman, his words were, we're going to work on, you know, what our education system looks like. We know that they're, you know, we need to do some things, and we're going to work toward those things. And those, you know, with those words and that confidence,
right.
We are changing, and it's going to be a process, and it takes years. I think, you know, those processes are in motion. You've got the people up there that care and that are wanting to do the things right. And Chairman Terry Collins over there on the, you know, chairman of that committee, she's in there, you know, fighting the good fight. I mean, we all are in the House, and so is the Senate. So those processes take a while. You know, again, one of the things I saw doing the school visits was that we have a lot of non-English speaking students in our rural areas. And when we look at when they are able to put their grade on the report card, and those teachers are having, you know, trying to get those students up to, you know, where the rest of our students are. I mean, those are things we all as a public have to kind of keep in mind. The more influx of the folks, the young students that are not English speaking, that we're having to pull those up. And, you know, those are all things that I think, you know, we kind of put in these rural areas, that those are issues that they're dealing with. And in Baldwin County, you know, we had Summerdale at 30% non-English speaking. We got schools out there 40% non-English speaking. I think, you know, when we start looking at these report cards, we need to kind of keep some of that in mind.
Let's get a break in here. We got State Representative Jennifer Fiddler. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Playing solitaire till dawn. A ragged rebel flag flies high above it all. Popping in the wind like an angry cannon. They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old,
welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Jennifer Fiddler, my state rep from Silver Hill, still with us here for a few more minutes. HB 125 got through, right?
HB 215. Representative Faust, the shoreline bill. It's
right.
Something that we've been working on for about 8 years. So I think he started working on it years ago. And just as a reminder for everybody, what it does is, for anyone who has land, owns land along our shoreline, it is a permit reduction fee whenever it's just to encourage you to put in natural living shorelines versus bulkheads. And whenever I started explaining this statewide, I had to explain that a bulkhead is like a seawall. And what happens is, the adjacent property owners, if you live down at the bay, you've seen this. Anyone who puts in a bulkhead, installs a bulkhead, you'll have the adjacent property owners actually lose their land, because as the tidal flows go in and out, we lose sediment. It pulls sediment on these adjacent landowners. So you may have a bulkhead that's out 20 feet or so, and then the adjacent land next to it has these cuts into the land.
Right.
They have lost their land. So this is like a land preservation for anybody that's along our coastal, living along coastal lines. So we're trying to encourage people to put in these natural living shorelines, which are installed with rock or grasses or berms, grass berms, that sort of thing. And it's just better for the sea life. It's better for our oyster beds. It's better for our, you know, all the way around our fish, natural sea habitat. And this was a bill that Representative Brown actually carried last year and made it through the House, but didn't make it through the Senate. So was able to carry it this year successfully through the House, through the Senate committee. Was a little worried because it was a week or 2 weeks ago, and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, what are we going to do? But Senator Elliott picked it up and got it through.
Town halls real quick.
Town halls on May 30th in Fairhope. We've got them that morning and that afternoon, so please come out and join me. 8:30 in the morning, May 30th, and 5 to 7 that afternoon.
State Representative Jennifer Fiddler, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you.